So Raise Your Glass High. Written by Echo Tunes. Read by Crimson Moon. Summary. It's the last night before the Battle of Dogwoods. The Red King and his hand talk. You were the best hand a king could have asked for, you know, Wren says. It's been an honor serving you, my liege, Martin replies. And he means it. He tears his gaze away from the stars to look at Wren. There's a sad sort of look on his king's face, one that seems so unlike his usual Red King demeanor that Martin isn't sure what to make of it. He's taken off his sunglasses, and his crown, gold tarnished with dried red blood, is lying in his lap. He looks vulnerable. I'm glad we got to... Wren trails off, seeming unsure of how to finish his sentence. Thank you, he says eventually. For everything. There's an odd sort of sensation in Martin's chest. It feels very full and yet empty all the same. We haven't lost yet, you know? He tells Wren, inclining his head towards the remains of the Wool Fortress, where Etho and Bigby are sitting around a small campfire, conversing in low voices. Martin thinks it's somewhat ironic that they've lit a campfire among the still smoldering walls. We've still got a fight to go, you never know. Wren looks away and tugs the blanket more tightly around his shoulders, directing his gaze up towards the stars. The sky is clear, and the moon is a pale crescent in the sky. Martin can see its glow reflected in the muddy swamp water below the bridge they're sitting on. I don't know what I'm expecting from this battle, Wren says, still not looking at him, gazed fixed on the starry sky. I'm not that confident in us, if I'm being honest. But I meant it earlier. I don't think I could stand it if we didn't at least try to take Dogwoods back. Martin understands. He feels the same way. It's not about recapturing Dogwoods, necessarily. It's about honor. I know, Martin says quietly. But you know what I said earlier? About how I'd go to the ends of the earth with you? He looks back at Wren, and manages a small, but genuine, smile. I meant that too. Wren looks back at him, and the corners of his eyes crinkle into a weak smile, too. I know. They fall back into silence. Wren returns to surveying the sky. The blanket around Wren's shoulders is white and fluffy and soft. And Martin wonders whether the cold chill in the air is due to his new status as a Red Name, or whether it's always been like this. Red winter is coming indeed. My lord. Wren looks at him again. There's an odd sort of look in his eyes. Martin's chest feels like it's contracting now, compressing his lungs and making it harder to breathe. He doesn't really have anything to say, he realizes, now that Wren is looking at him as though he's expecting something. He doesn't usually mind silence between them, but there's something about the fact that he knows, deep down, that they'll never be able to do this again, that makes him want to keep talking. I'm going to miss, he gestures vaguely with his hand, this. Again, Wren doesn't respond, but gives a small nod and looks away again. Me too. There's another pause. A shiver runs through Martin. He frowns down at the pale gray back of his hand and rubs his thumb over it. The skin isn't as warm as it should be. He's used to red life coldness. He's just not used to it being his own skin that's cold. Wren shifts next to him. Martin looks over at him and watches as he lifts the blanket from his own shoulders and shuffles closer to him to drape it over the both of them. The atmosphere between them feels so... odd. Martin isn't sure what to make of it. Everything seems different tonight, and yet completely normal. Just the king in his hand, sitting under the stars. And yet... Martin suddenly feels very aware of the way his shoulder is now pressed against Wren's. He's cold, as always, because being a red life just has that effect on people. But he's still warmer than they are around them. The blanket is warm, and Wren is close enough that Martin can see the thick scar tissue on his neck and... Martin, my dude, you good? Martin startles. Yes, my lord. Sorry. He grins sheepishly as he realizes he's been staring. Just thinking. Ren sighs. Me too. He turns his gaze upwards yet again. Silence, again. Etho laughs at something back at the campfire. Have you ever wanted to say something to someone, but not know how to say it? Ren asks. Martin raises an eyebrow and can't help the grin that makes its way onto his face. You got something to say, my lord? Ren looks back at him. Yeah. Martin can't decide how to interpret the look in Ren's eyes. He looks unsure, but also quite serious. Martin tries to think of an actual answer to the question. Well, maybe you should just try saying whatever's on your mind, and then you could try explaining it once the words are out. Might be good to get yourself started. I'm not sure if that's the best approach, my dude. Martin shrugs. Never said I was good at giving advice. You've been pretty good at being a hand, though, Ren points out. That's sort of like giving advice. I thought it was more like, you give me the orders and I follow them, and also protect you with my life. And go around advertising Renchanting, of course. And then you stand naked on an altar and I chop off your head with an axe and swear my undying loyalty. Just regular guy things. Ren, despite the fact that he's evidently trying to be serious, lets out a barking laugh. Ha! Yeah, well, what I'm trying to say is, thank you. For, you know. He gestures vaguely and his voice drops back into his Red King tone. Thank you for being loyal to the end, me hand. I appreciate it more than you know. Martin smiles, a genuine smile that makes him feel warm inside, and reaches out to take Ren's hand in his own. Thoughts from the beginning of the season, thoughts about betraying Ren and winning, in the end, come to mind. He wonders how he could have been naive enough to think he'd ever be able to let this go. Ren is watching him. Holding eye contact, Martin brings the hand in his grasp up to his lips and presses a soft kiss to the back of Ren's hand. There's a silent tension between them now, and neither of them break it for a few moments. Ren's ears twitch and his gaze darts down to Martin's lips and back up again. Martin is still holding Ren's hand. Martin doesn't know who moves first, but one moment they're staring at each other, and the next moment they're kissing. And it feels like something has finally, finally slid into place. He drops Ren's hand to wind his fingers into Ren's hair, and feels a hand tangle into his own. There's a soft rhythmic thumping on the bridge that he realizes a moment later must be Ren's tail. And a warm wave of fondness surges up in his chest as the blanket slips off their shoulders with the movement. They eventually have to part for air, and their foreheads lean against each other as they breathe, minds whirling. Martin moves the hand in Ren's hair to scratch behind his ear, and the thumping on the bridge intensifies. Ren glares at him, but there's no real heat behind it. So, Martin says, breaking the silence. Ren blinks. Yeah. You're not half bad at kissing, my lord. Ren throws his head back and lets out a barking laugh. Ha! You're quite good yourself, me hand. I'm impressed. Martin grins. Wanna go again, then? Instead of answering, Ren surges forward to capture his lips in another kiss. He's more enthusiastic this time, and a small noise is drawn from Martin as a tongue slips into his mouth. He lets Ren guide the kiss, and their hands curl into each other's hair again. Ren pulls away from the kiss, and Martin makes a small noise of protest at the loss, but sighs contentedly when Ren starts kissing down his neck instead. He can feel sharp teeth and a scratchy beard on his skin, and leans his head back to allow better access. He feels very aware of his own heartbeat and the chill of the night air. Hey, are you two done yet? A voice close behind them startles Martin so badly he nearly falls into the water, and winces in pain as Ren bites down hard in surprise. He looks around to see Etho standing on the wool bridge only several feet away, silhouetted by the glow of the lava behind him. Bigby is standing a few paces behind him, looking awkward. Sorry, he mouths as Martin raises an eyebrow at him. Ren clears his throat, and Martin looks back at him. Ren looks a little embarrassed, and he's replaced the crown on his head and is slipping the sunglasses back on. Yes, sorry, Etho, we were just, well... Took you long enough, Etho says with a shrug. But you should come look at the battle plans. Bigby has some pretty solid ideas about how we could approach this, and we all still need to get some rest. Yes, you're right, of course. Wren gets to his feet and holds a hand out to Martin. Martin grins and takes it, letting Wren pull him up and handing him the blanket. What happened to me being the hand of the king, then? Aren't I meant to be helping you up? Wren laughs gruffly and turns away as he folds the blanket over his shoulder. Yeah, well, he hasn't let go of Martin's hand. Etho has already started walking back along the bridge towards the fortress, Bigby turning to follow him. Martin presses a quick peck to Wren's cheek. Come on then, my lord. Time to look at battle plans. Wren manages a small smile. Yeah. Hey, my lord. Wren? Yeah? Martin smiles back at him. Thanks for being the best king a hand could ask to serve. The end. Thank you for listening.